tonight's class is bedikat tolaim, checking for bugs, and mafrish challah, separate challah from the bread and cakes, cookies, whatever you make. So first I'm going to go over the halachot of bugs, how to check your vegetables, and I'm going to give you a list of every vegetable, how to check each one, and I hope I cover everything that is there to be covered. Then if there's anything extra, we could talk about it then. First, we need to understand that eating any type of worm is asur from the Torah, in any form or shape. Every other isur that we have is batel b'shishim, right? If you have 60 times of a good part, and you mix it up with something that is not kosher, then it's nullified 60 times. But tolaim, bugs, is not like that. Bugs is not batel b'shishim, and if you have one worm and you have 1,000 times more than that, still the food is considered not kosher, and one is not allowed to eat. And therefore, having any type, in any form or shape, a bug or any type of worms in our food or vegetables or drinks or any other thing is a sur from the Torah. Today, a lot of the vegetables that they sell in the market are considered mukhzak betolaim, which means that we know for a fact that they are full of bugs, and one is not allowed to think and imagine that they wash it or they take care of it before it comes to the market. You have to treat them as they are not kosher and they are not checked, and without checking, it's also to eat them. Who is kosher to check their vegetables? It's also another question. Any man or woman over the age of 13 years old that cares about checking vegetables, right? And also they know how to check vegetables, and they know where to check the vegetables. It's nothing to do with somebody's Shomer Mitzvot or is not Shomer Mitzvot. It has to do the person that's checking the vegetables, are they qualified? Do they know what they're doing? Are they really took a course to check vegetables, and they know where to look and how to look for the checking vegetables? A non-Jew is not, and if you have a maid at home and you tell the maid, would you please check my vegetables, she or he is not neeman, is not believed that they know what they're doing, and you cannot rely on them in any form or shape that they check their vegetables. Or somebody, a Jew also, that is not Shomer Torah Mitzvot, or if they are Shomer Torah Mitzvot also, but they don't care. They think in their mind that checking vegetables is not a big deal, they wash it already, comes into the market washed. That type of people also cannot rely on them, that the vegetable that they're serving you is checked and is kosher. If a person could be a big rabbi, but if they think in their mind that the vegetable does not need to be checked, they are not neeman, they are not believed that they check their vegetables, and you cannot eat the vegetables that they have it, or if you are invited in their homes, you are not allowed to have the vegetables that they serve. On Shabbat, also one is allowed to check vegetables, but there's different way that we do during the week. Let's say if you have lettuce, you want to check the lettuce, you are allowed to take off the outer piece, throw it away. Then you cannot soak them in a salt water or vinegar, because by doing that you're killing the bugs, and killing on Shabbat is asur. What you have to do, you have to check each leaf by the light, and if you find a bug or worm or anything else there, you are allowed to take them out and throw them away, but you cannot wash them to kill them. Killing you are not allowed to do. The best thing is to do, take a piece of lettuce with the worm on it and throw them away. This way you are not over on any surim, but you are allowed to check them in this manner. And taking off the outer pieces, the outer part of the lettuce, is not considered a borer because it's not edible, and you are allowed to throw them away, and the rest of the lettuce is fine. Now, I'm going to go over through the names of some of the vegetables, and we're going to tell you how to check them and what to do to make sure that they are checked properly. Broccoli and cauliflower. First, you have to cut them to small pieces, right? And then put them, soak them in soap water. Now, from now on, whenever I say soap water, means that the water cannot be too much soap in it, and it cannot be too little soap. It has to be enough that it makes your hands slippery. That's the amount of soap that you have to put in the water. You put the soap inside the water, and then you put the broccoli and the cauliflower in there. Then you take them out, wash them, and put them in a bowl, in a white bowl, with clear water, and move them around in the water. Then examine the water, make sure that the water is clean, insect-free, and if there is no insect found in the water, then it's fine. If there is insect, then you have to redo it again. You do it 2, 3, 4, whatever time it takes, until the water that is left in the end is totally clean, there's nothing in it, then you are allowed to use the broccoli and cauliflower. Now, what happens if you have a box of broccoli or cauliflower? Sit down and doing all this, each head by itself is going to take you all day. There is a heter from Rav Aaron Kotler that he could rely on the chazaka check, which means that if you check 3 heads and they are fine, you could assume the rest of the box is also okay. But the 3 heads that you check, you have to check them following. Before you wash them, first you put them inside the soap water, move them around, and then take 3 heads from the box, open it up, and cut them to pieces, put them inside the soap water, move them around, then take them out, wash them, put them in the clear water, and do it 3 times. If you find 1 bug the first time, then it's over. You have to check the whole box. If the first time you put the clear water, the cauliflower or the broccoli is clean, then you could assume the rest of the box is also clean, and you could use them. But if you find only 1 bug inside one of them, then the whole box has to be checked. And if there is no bug found, then the whole box is kosher without further checking. Now, what about frozen broccoli and cauliflower? Now, there are different shittot regarding frozen. Frozen is, some say that you need to have bidashkacha. Some say that you don't need to have bidashkacha. It's fine the way it is. Now, lefi halacha, you could be mekel and bite without any further hashgacha. But if somebody wants to be machmir, you could buy the frozen one, just take a handful of them out, and do exactly what I said for the fresh one. If they are clear, then you could assume that the rest of the bag is also clean, and you could use them without further checking. Leafy vegetables, which include endive, kale, lettuce, which would be iceberg, romaine, and spinach. All of these lettuces, these leafy vegetables, the way to check them is like this. First, to separate the leaves, right? Soak them in a soap water or vinegar water or salt water. Has to be, again, mild soap water. Then take them out, wash them, and then check leaf by leaf. And then, first of all, it's better always to have a light box, to check them under the light box, but that's the way to check them. Again, you separate the leaves, soak them in the water, in a salt water or soap water, take them out, check them leaf by leaf, and then you could use them. If it's clean, then it's okay, it's fine. Now, the same thing, also the same halacha applies if you have a box of iceberg or romaine lettuce. Could somech on the chazaka checking, which would be that take 3 heads from the box, open them up, First of all, to take the outer pieces out, outer leaves, you could throw them away. Before washing them, you have to check the three heads. If the three heads are totally clean, then you could assume the rest of the box is also clean, and don't have to check anymore. You could use the rest of the box without further checking. But if you find only one box in the three heads, then you have to check the rest of the box, and the rest of the box, I have to go through the whole thing, so soap water and checking leaf by leaf, and then you could use them. Normally, the romaine lettuce there's a lot of bugs in them. I don't think you could find in a box that three heads of romaine lettuce totally clean. Iceberg you probably can, but romaine I don't think it's going to be very difficult to find that romaine lettuce like that. Fresh herbs, that basil, dill, cilantro, mint leaves, oregano, parsley, rosemary, watercress, and sage. All this, the way to check them is first you have to soak them in a salt water or soap water. This, by the way, there's a vegetable wash that you could buy. Today there's a vegetable wash with the OU on it. You could buy that. It's the best possible thing you could get. It's called vegetable wash. Instead of soap, you could use this vegetable wash. We use that in all these big places, the hotels and catering places, they use that. The vegetable wash, and when wash them off, after you soak them in the water, move them around, take them out, wash the soap off, then put it inside the clear water, clear bowl with water, and then examine the water. If the water is clean, there's nothing in it, you could use it. If you find bugs in it, then you have to do it and redo it and redo it until the water is completely clean, and then they are okay to be used. You don't have to check them leaf by leaf, these herbs. You could sumach on this alone. Brussels sprouts. The fresh Brussels sprouts cannot be checked. No way to get to check them, and frozen one you need ashkacha. Bean sprouts does not require checking, right? At least you have a reason to believe that they are infested, then you have to check them. But if the normal bean sprouts are fine. Artichoke cannot be checked. And one should not use them, like fresh or frozen or in a can. No way. Artichoke is very difficult to check them, and it was found that they're very infested.
No part of the artichoke.
That's right. Corn on the cob. Just visual checking would be enough. Just looking at them, you could rely on them, and could use the rest of it. Endive only require washing, just wash them off, that's fine. Now the following vegetables that I'm going to read now, they don't need to be checked. Alfalfa sprouts, green beans, radishes, raisins, squash, and zucchini. None of these don't need checking, and could use them without any further checking. Blackberries and strawberries. You have to wash them with the soap water or vegetable wash, then move them, and wash them up, put them in a clear water, move them around, and then rinse them under stream water. And then it's fine. Blackberries and strawberries. I'm going to get to blueberries. Frozen are acceptable, they don't need ashkacha. Can strawberries or blackberries, they need reliable ashkacha. You cannot use them without reliable ashkacha. Blueberries, you could only wash them with regular water, and the only thing you have to check for blueberries are those that they are foam, Those with the foam, remove them and the rest of them are fine. And the frozen blueberries, they don't need ashkacha and they are fine. Cabbage and a red cabbage. First you have to detach the loose leaves and throw them away. Then you have to spread all the leaves and wash them with the soap water or vegetable wash. Then you have to make leaf by leaf checking. And if you have a box of them, then you have to do a chazaka checking, which means that you check 3 heads of the box. If they are clean, then the rest of the box is clean. You don't have to check the rest of it. And if you find even one bug in the 3 heads, then you have to check the rest of the box. You cannot use without further checking. Sergus, we have tips and we have the leaves. The tips, you have to soak them in the soap water. Then you have to, after soap water, take them out, put them in the clear water and move them around the clear water. Then you have to examine the water, make sure there's nothing in it, and then you could use it. If the water is totally clean, you could use it. If not clean, then you have to do it and redo it until the water becomes clean, then you could use the rest. The leaves, then that is more difficult. You have to take those part that is not edible, the bottom part of each leaf, and you have to check them. The bottom part of the sergus are the most difficult one, and you have to, if you know how to check them, you have to check them visually, and then you have to remove the leaves, the loose leaves. You have to check. You have to throw them away, and then put them inside the salt water and do this exactly the same thing we said for the tips. The canned asparagus, you need a reliable ashkacha. I don't think you could find one, but if you need one, you have to find with a reliable ashkacha. The frozen also you cannot use without checking them. The frozen asparagus also you have to check exactly the same way that you check the fresh asparagus. That's all the vegetables. If you have more vegetables, write it down. We're going to get the questions in the end. Okay, now we're going to go to halachot of challah. I want to try to cover one more thing tonight if you have time, but let's go through the halachot of challah. There's a mitzvah that says to mafrish challah from your dough every time you make a dough, but we have to also understand that mafrish challah in Eretz Yisrael is min haTorah, in Chutz La'aretz, outside Eretz Yisrael, is only midrabanan. Therefore, in halacha makes a big difference. If the questions comes up, you have whatever you ask a shayla, you have to say the challah was made in Eretz Yisrael or the challah was made in Chutz La'aretz. The minhag tov, the good minhag, the good custom that every woman should bake challah in Erev Shabbat. And when you bake challah, you should bake it in a way that you should be able to mafrish challah, should be able to mafrish challah and make a beracha. And this, the brother, the Sifrei Kabbalah, that mafrish challah with the beracha is the zechut for having easy labor. The label and Shalom. The Zet Hashem should be, everything should go well. The time that you mafrish challah is when you pour water inside the flour and they become dough. At that time you mafrish challah. Not before, not after. When everything is ready to be baked, at that time you bake you mafrish the challah. Somebody forgets to separate the challah before, then you have to take off the challah after you baked. And if you forgot to do that, then you have to leave a piece. That I'm going to get what happens if that happens before. What happens if somebody forgot to take off challah and they remember on Shabbat itself? You are not allowed to take challah off on Shabbat, but what you have to in Chutz La'aretz. I'm talking about the halacha of Chutz La'aretz is different. In Chusra, also there is Israel. If you have a challah, you have a bread that was not challah was not taken off of them, you have to leave a piece on Motzei Shabbat to take off a piece. Cannot take off a piece from the challah on Shabbat. But if you remember on Erev Shabbat they didn't take off challah, after you baked, you still could take off the challah with the bracha. The mitzvah of mafrish chala is either on the woman of the house or the husband of the house. It's not on the children or anybody else. So what I mean by that is not a question that you want mechanech your children. It's the question of you have to make somebody your agent to do it. You cannot make anybody your agent. At least you say beferush clearly to them that I want you to be instead of me to take off chala. Therefore, if you are not home, you cannot ask your neighbor, next door neighbor cannot just come in and take off challah. Or you cannot have your cousin staying by you take off your challah, or your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, whatever it is. It doesn't work that way. If you want anybody besides you and your husband to take off the challah, you have to make them a shaliach. You have to say clearly that I want you to I'm making you a shaliach to take off challah for me. A child, a minor, less than 12, a girl less than 12, a boy less than 13, they are not kosher to be the ones to mafrish challah, because you cannot make them an agent. Agent has to be a boy and a girl over the age of bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah, and then you are allowed to make them a shaliach to mafrish challah. A non-Jew cannot be a shaliach. A person is not shomer mitzvot cannot be shaliach, even though they take off challah. They cannot be your shaliach. Cannot make them an agent of yours to mafrish challah. Therefore, whoever is going to be the one to mafrish challah for you has to be somebody shomer Torah mitzvot, somebody that is observant, and they also care of taking off challah. What kind of flowers is mechuyav, is obligated to the challah should be mafrish from them? Any type of flower, the five major flowers, which is oat, wheat, barley, the main ones, the five main ones, they have to mafrish challah from them, and it doesn't make a difference. Used water or used juice. It doesn't make any difference. As long as the dough is a thick dough, you have to mafrish challah. And it doesn't make a difference. Use water, use apple juice or orange juice or milk or whatever you use. As long as is a dough and it's a thick dough and you are going to bake them, then you have to mafrish challah. If you have a dough that you are not going to bake, you are going to cook them, then you don't have to mafrish challah. Therefore, for donuts, don't have to mafrish challah. Then some say that if the dough is really thick, you should take off a piece without the bracha. But if the main halacha of mafrish challah is only for baking, if you're cooking, how do you make it? Frying, right? You don't have to take off challah mikaradin. If you have the flour that is not thick, what I mean by it is not thick, when you pour them, they just pour, like making a cake. You don't have to mafrish challah for that also. It has to be a thick challah to do that. Now, how much you have to have in order to mafrish challah? So I'm going to make it as easy as possible, because there are so many different chiluke de'ot ideas about how much the flour has to be in order to mafrish challah. So I'm going to make it as easy as possible. But if you hear other measurements, it could be right. I'm going to tell you what I think is the proper way to do it, and this way you are just kimat kol ha'de'ot. One should be machmir to take off challah without a beracha if it's up to 2.3 pounds. Less than 2.3 pounds, you don't have to take off anything. even without the beracha. But from 2.3 pounds, you should take off challah without the beracha. Now, you should try not to make a dough from 3.5 pounds until 5 pounds. Should stay away from 3.5 till 5 pounds. Why? Because there are so many different machloket. When can you make a barakah? According to Chazonish and Arab Ben Ishchai, you have to have at least 5 pounds in order to make a barakah. According to Arab Ovadia Yosef, if you have 3.7 pounds, you could make a barakah also. So therefore, that you shouldn't get into machloket and the safek barakot, because you don't make a barakah for no reason. Therefore, from 3.7 until 5 pounds, try not to have a dough that shouldn't make a, should not have a dough to separate challah. So then you get into machloket. But if you have it, right, then if somebody wants to make a barakah from 3.7 until 5 pounds, yesh lo al mal lisbuch, you are allowed to do that, but it's better, because of safek barachot, not to do it until 5 pounds. Now, if you have a dough that part of it is going to be fried for donuts and part of it you're going to bake, then you have to mafrish challah with the barakha as long as you have the proper shiur. Now, you have a lot of times people ask that you make two different types of two separate doughs, right? If you make two, let's say dough 2.5 pounds here and 2.5 pounds here, or you make one wheat, one regular flour, all wheat or regular white flour, and you can't have 5 pounds from this and 5 pounds from that. Make 2.5 from this, 2.5 from that. But you want to mafrish challah. How do you do that? There are three different ways that you could do it. Either you have to put them inside, let's say you have a pan. You put both doughs inside one pan, actually one kli. Either that, or you put them both in the kitchen counter and cover them with a towel. They have to be covered under one roof, right? Or you put both of them in one place and let them touch each other. If you do that, then you could take challah from one of them, and that includes the other one also. But if you have two doughs that you makbid, you don't want one of them touch the other one, then you cannot separate challah one for the other one, because in order to do that, they have to be able to touch each other. Or let's make another case. Let's say one of the doughs are milchik, the other one you want to be fleshy. Then you cannot mafrish challah either, even if you put it in one place. You cannot do that because the both of them totally separate. You cannot mafrish, cannot separate challah from one to the other one. Now, how much do you have to mafrish? For Sephardim, you mafrish small amount, very small amount. Ashkenazim, the minhag is to take off a kazait, which is 1 ounce. The minhag is also to give tzedakah before you mafrish challah. And some, they do netilat adayim with the kli before they mafrish challah, because mafrish challah, separate the challah, is a big mitzvah in the time of the Tamikdash. They give the challah to a kohen, to kohen. Today we don't have that, but because it's such an important mitzvah, they should try to do netilat adayim without the barakha, just wash their hand and then mafrish the challah. Also, the minhag is that the woman or man that mafrish challah should be standing up. They should not be sitting. Now, what beracha do you make? That's also machlok. There's a different minhagim between Ashkenazim and Sephardim. The Ashkenazim, they make a beracha lachrish challa min ha'isa. Sephardim make a beracha lachrish challa teruma. Okay, Ashkenazim lachrish challa min ha'isa. Sephardim, they make a beracha lachrish challa teruma. And then you mafrish the challah. Then take off the challah. You cannot take off the challah before you make a barakha. You have to know exactly which part of the dough you're taking the challah off. You hold on to it. You make a barakha. Then you take it off. Then the minhag is that you should say, arezo challah. This is challah. And then put it away. Now, what do you do with this challah? When you mafrish them, what do you do? I'm sure everybody knows yet that there are different customs of how to take care of this challah. The best way to handle with this challah is you wrap them around aluminium foil and then put them inside the oven all the way down on the floor of the oven, not on the racks. All the way down on the floor of the oven, then you bake it or destroy them, whenever it is done, take them out and throw them away. If you cannot do that, then if you want to just throw them away, then you have to wrap them in two aluminium foil or in a bag nicely, and then you could throw them in the garbage. But the minhag is that you wrap them around the aluminium foil and put them inside the oven on the floor. You could do that even while you are baking. Let's say you are baking your challah and you want to burn this challah also, could wrap them around and put them on the floor, and at the same time that the challah is being baked, this challah also could get destroyed. Now, what happens if somebody mafrish challah, you took a challah out, put them on the counter, then you got busy, you came back, and your child took the challah out, or you had a dog, and the dog ate your challah. What are you supposed to do? You don't have to mafrish challah again. Once you did it, even though that you didn't burn it, once you took it out and put it away, then your challah is fine, and you could use your dough. But what happens, that happened one time, that somebody, this is a serious challah. What happens if you take off the challah, then you went away, came back, and you bake your challah, and find out what happened? The challah got mixed up with your dough. Somebody mixed up the piece inside your dough. Then you have to ask a Sheila what to do with this, because you can't just say take another piece out. Doesn't work that way, because the piece of the challah took off is considered non-kosher. The non-kosher got mixed in with the kosher dough, and it could be your challah stref now. As you have to ask a Sheila what to do if something like that happened. Details involved with that. You have to ask questions to know how to pass in the shayla. Now we have a few minutes. Let me go. I want to talk about the halachot of tevilat kelim. We know that every kli, every utensil that made of metal or glass, you need to tovel them with the beracha. Before you tovel them, you have to make sure that anything, any piece, anything extra sitting on the kli, it has to be taken off before you do the tevila, and the tevila has to be done with somebody that's shomer mitzvot. You cannot send a child less than age of bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah to do tevilat kelim for you. What happens if somebody on Shabbat, you need a kli, you have only one kli available, and you forgot to tovel it on Shabbat. Shabbat morning you want to serve and you find out that your kli, your bowl, was not tovel. What do you do? According to the minhagim by Sephardim, that you are allowed to come here and tovel the kli on Shabbat, Ashkenazim are machmir, and you are not allowed to do that. But what you can do, you could give it to a Sephardi to tovel it for you. Use them as a Shabbos boy. If you don't have a mikveh, then you cannot use it. You cannot use the kli. This idea that people say that one time you could use your kli without a mikveh, without tovel, that's baloney. It's not true. You cannot use the kli without toveling the mikveh even one time. You have to tovel them before. Now, if you are invited in somebody's home that you know their kli is not tovel, it's asur to eat in that house, and you basically cannot eat there. The only thing you can do, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, that if you have, let's say they made chicken or potatoes that doesn't really need to be in a bowl, you could take them and eat them in a paper plate or foam plate, but it liquidy like soup, for sure you cannot use the kli to eat them. The claim that they need a mikveh, but without that bracha, we have a list out there. There are some kli that you have to make a bracha, some kli don't need a bracha. The one thing that they need to make a note of that is that if you have this aluminium pans, the aluminium pans that you buy them, there's two she'elot with them. One is, most of these aluminium pans, they have oil, right, smashed all over them. And the oil is not kosher, but you are allowed to use them because there's the same time the pegam and it's fine. The other thing is, the only time that you need to tovel this aluminium pans, if you are going to use them more than once. If you're going to use them only once, then you don't have to tovel them, you could use them and throw them away. But if you are going to use them more than once, then you have to tovel it before you use the first time. Understand? Because you can't use them and then say, okay, now I'm going to use them for the second time, I'm going to take it to Tevila. If you know that you are going to use them more than once, before you use them, you have to make sure that they are toveled. If you have a kli that they need to be kasher first, and also to go to Tevila, first you have to kasher it, then you have to take them to Tevila. Don't do it vice versa. Now there's another halacha that I did to make a note of that. A lot of people, they have you go buy presents for people, buy a bowl, buy pans for people, and then a lot of places in New York, they have a mikveh in the store. Right? They tovel everything in the store. That's nonsense. They cannot tovel a kli before it's yours. The owners of the store, they cannot tovel. If you buy the kli that was already toveled, that you have to tovel it over again, their tevila does not mean anything. If they write on the kli that the kli is toveled already, it doesn't mean anything. You have to come home and tovel it again. Another thing is, when you are giving a matana, right? Let's say you buying a bowl for your friend or for your cousin, and you know they are not going to take it to Tevila, right? You should ask their reshut and tovel it for them. L'chatechila, one should not tovel a kli without their permission. Even if you are going to give them a kli, you should say to them, Would you give me a permission to tovel the kli for you? It's yours. I want to have your permission to tovel the kli. Then you could do it and take it to them. But you should not do it without their permission. Same thing. A lot of times that the children go to their parents' home, their parents are not kosher, or they're kosher, then tovel the kli. You should ask their permission before you take their kli to tevilah. Now what happens if you are in a situation that your parents are not going to give you permission to take your stuff to the tevilah? You could take them without their permission, and you could use them after that also. Only if you know that they won't give you a permission, you could do that. The kli that was made by a Jew does not need to be a tovel. If you know a company that the owners are Jews and they made that kli, you don't have to take the utensils, you don't have to take them to tevila. Also, any type of a kli that is used by electricity also needs to be tovel. If you have electric water urns, they need also to be immersed in water before you use them. You could do that, nothing going to happen to them. Just don't use them for 24 hours, let them sit. Nothing's wrong, nothing happens to them. And they should be fine. Now, let's get the question.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.